One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Many years ago, I was thinking a moment ago, on the banks of a bayou in Louisiana, late one evening when the family altar program that originated in Corpus Christi had finished and the message was done, there was a little girl that climbed up in the lap of her dad that had been listening to the broadcast and said, "Daddy, tell me more about Jesus." And the daddy looked at her with a rather questioned look and said, honey, you run in the kitchen and ask mother, and she'll tell you more about Jesus. But you know, that night, this man went to bed slightly bothered by the question, "Daddy, tell me more about Jesus." He said, and he wrote me the letter, he said, "I got up the next morning with that sweet, little, dainty, precious voice and those little old upturned eyes looking in my face and saying, 'Daddy, tell me more about Jesus.'" And he said, "As soon as breakfast was done, I beat it downtown to a bookstore, and I bought 3 Bibles because we didn't have any in our home. I bought one for me, I bought one for my wife, and I bought one for that little girl that wanted to know more about Jesus." And said, "Brother Olaf, I'm just know you'll be glad to hear that I've now been saved, my wife has been saved, and the little daughter that wanted to know more about Jesus has been saved." I just had that testimony to come back to me a while ago, and that is a sweet letter. In the beginning days of the radio ministry, and that's why the Family Altar program, I believe, has lingered and stayed on the air, is that we must point people to Jesus and get them saved. And tonight, if I could climb on the highest hill or the tallest peak and somebody would build me a PA system that could go around the world, and if the Lord and He alone could do it, could give me every language and every dialect of every ignorant soul, and I could pierce the dark of every continent and every community that's never heard the name of Jesus, and the Lord would have said clearly to me, "Preacher, you will have your last opportunity tonight as you stand with your tremendous opportunity to speak to over 3 billion people in their own language. And when you're through tonight, and the last amen has been said, and the service has been dismissed, you will have had your last opportunity. But it'll be a great one. Now then, what would you preach? What would you preach?" Now, there's a heap of things that need to be preached. There really is. The mind's in an awful bad fix today. I never have seen people so mentally disturbed, and I've never seen people so rattled of mind and so mentally retarded. I mean, spiritually speaking. Now, of course, you know, the word mentally retarded is a new name, and we didn't have anything like that hardly when we came up. Somebody just appeared maybe a little dumb, but he made it fine. He didn't hurt anybody. And he may not could pass his grade, but he's always good-natured. Do you remember that? Back in those days. But now then, or they get vicious and violent, and they kill everybody in the house, you know, and they have to chain them and tie them and haul them off to the psychiatric ward and shoot tranquilizers and give them shock treatments and everything. I mean, we didn't have any of that when we was coming up. But the Bible said in the closing days, it's going to be a generation of violence. And I think the two things, the two outstanding signs of the soon coming of the Savior, is homosexuality and violence. Those two things seem so unnecessary, so abnormal, and so wrong, and yet these two things. And of course, he tells us that the education system will be infiltrated with infidelity and atheism, and it is. And he said everybody will be run off to college, and they said they'll ever be learning. They'll be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And brother, that's where we are in the colleges today. Oh, they're learning. Man, they can even get in the capsule and take off through space, orbit the moon, come back down, splash down, and so forth, and get out and walk around. And I mean, we got more facts than we've ever had in our life, but we don't have any motivation to live right. And what shall it profit a man if he learns everything and misses the wisdom of Jesus? And that's exactly where we are today. Now, I know it makes the preacher like this sound like a prophet of doom, and I guess I am, because the quicker the doom comes, the quicker our bloom comes.
Amen.
Man's asked for it, let him have it. I'm not going to ask God to turn his head and forget his righteousness and holiness and justice, and neither am I going to ask him not to have mercy. But, dear friends, when a nation refuses the mercy of God, there's only one thing left, and that's the justice of God. I was talking with a very lovely person, long distance, and as I talk with many every day, and the boys, the young men, the hoodlums, the hippies, the filthy, the ungodly, the brutes, the sour, low-down rascals that get girls in trouble and then brag about it and whip across the country. I'll guarantee you one thing. That little girl may suffer, and she will. And she'll stain her pillow with tears many a night. And long to see and long to be. And that boy skips across the country getting other girls in trouble and bragging about it and keeping his record of how many. But I'd like for that sour, low-down hoodlum to know that one day the justice of God will overtake him like a cyclone.
Amen.
His teeth will not only rattle, he won't have any left. When God gets through, if I could set Reverend to chewing on him, he'll realize his payday has come and gone. Sin, still sin. And there's only one hope for sin. And dear friend, if we're trying to find an answer for sin in anything else except the Savior, we're wasting our time.
Amen.
And sin's just like it's always been. You can call it little or big, or you can call it yellow, or you can call it gray, or you can call it black. Sin is just like it's always been. And tonight, I want to present the only remedy there is for sin. Turn to Exodus, please, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This is one of the great chapters. I'd say that this is the greatest chapter in the Bible, the Old Testament, on blood salvation, and then not any other kind. This is the greatest chapter that I know of in the entire Old Testament. I know Isaiah 53, wonderful, wonderful, bruised, whipped, despised, rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the 12th chapter is the Passover chapter. And all of us need the Passover, because all of us are passing over. And I need somebody that'll meet me on this side of the river and conduct me safely across. And so the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, he's saying to the children of Israel, you're fixing to get a beginning, a new beginning. You're fixing to get, he said it'll be the first month. I mean, you're fixing to get a new start. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Those of us who are Christians realize that our beginning was not at the age of 40, but it was when we got born again. I mean, that's the only beginning I've ever had. I never did live until I was born again. As a lad, I was dead. As a sinner, I was dead. I had no spiritual life. And my life started when I was born again. There never is any spiritual life. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Every man without Christ is a dead man. Has no life, has no vision, has no hearing, has no feeling, and has no spiritual joy, and no satisfaction, and no satisfying portion. And so he said, it's going to be the beginning of months for you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Now, we must recall our minds and hearts that whatever beginning we have is connected with the life or death of a lamb. I mean, whatever life we receive has to come through the sacrifice of somebody else. Somebody's got to die for me to live. And the Bible's so plain about this great truth. And now notice what he said in verse 4. And if a household be too little for the lamb, thank the Lord he didn't say if the lamb be too little for the household. Lamb big enough for anybody's household. Just one lamb. Oh, no wonder John saw him coming. That great bulldozer of God that was making a highway, putting in the bridges, looked up and saw him coming, raised his index finger and said, look, behold, the Lamb comes. The Lamb of God take away the sin of the world. That's the Lamb we're talking about. That's in the Old Testament here. Now notice, he said, if the house will be too little for the Lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now that sort of takes it for granted that the neighbors were getting along all right. Isn't it sad when neighbors pack grudges and fuss and fight and hate one another and their children fall out and they cuss and rage? I mean, that's sad. Do you love your neighbor? Do you pray for him? Is he one to Christ? Never forget, many years ago, down in Houston, 26 years ago, my neighbors fell out. Started packing pistols for each other. Oh, brother, it is serious in our community. One of them adopted a little boy. And one, I think, adopted a little girl. But the one that had the little girl, I mean, no, the little boy was their very own. The little girl was adopted, because they couldn't have any children. And the rumor got out that the neighbor said that the little girl was illegitimate, you know. And oh, brother, you talk about the war breaking out. And the little girl and little boy had been accustomed to playing together. And they had a wonderful time. And they didn't know anything about the war brewing, except they just knew all of a sudden mother says, you can't play with him anymore, and the other mother says, you can't play with her anymore, and I don't want you to go there, I don't want you to be around, I don't want you to get in the yard. And, oh, brother, little old kids so confused, they didn't know what in the world was going on. But I tell you one thing, word came to me across the street, and so I decided, you know, I'd just jump right in the middle of it. And I did. I went over to one's house, and I said, now, I understand that this thing's really getting serious. Yeah, he said, I'll shoot him if he doesn't watch out. I said, the fact is, he better stay away from here. He said, I said, man, do you realize how serious? He said, do you realize that you may shoot him, he may shoot you, but do you realize that there'll be a little boy and a little girl without a dad? And I said, if you shoot him, you know you'll go to penitentiary, so yours will be without a daddy too. And his will be without a daddy because, you know, he's going to be dead. I said, now, can you imagine how sinful, and you're supposed to be a Christian, and he's not a Christian, and you ought to go the second mile. Now listen, if I bring him over here, will you be nice to him? He said, he won't come. I said, that's up to me now. I mean, I'll go and talk to him. I said, now listen, you better not have any pistol or shotgun sticking behind the door or anything when I come over here with him. So he and his wife looked at each other and said, well, I said, you Christians, aren't you supposed to be? I said, now, we better get this thing right. There's going to be a real tragedy in our community. And, well, they said, if he comes, we'll try to be nice. So I went over to the neighbor's house and next door, right next door. I said, now listen, I'm your neighbor and I know about what's going on. And I said, listen, this is sad. This is just tragic. I said, that little old boy and little old girl, they're not responsible. I mean, they're just as sweet and fine as they can be. And I said, now, this thing's going to be terrible if y'all don't get this. I said, now, I want you to go over next door with me right now. He said, what? I said, that's right. You heard me. I said, we're going over then. We're going to talk this thing over. Why, he said, man, listen, you don't think I'm going to walk in his house, do you? I said, yeah, right now. He said, listen, you don't know. He's threatened to kill me. I said, you threatened to kill him too? But I said, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to just sort of stand between both of you. And the Lord's going to be there with us, and we're going to get this thing fixed up. Now, I mean, it's just not right. I mean, y'all have always gotten along, and we have a happy neighborhood here, and we just kind of hollering each other all the time, you know, and neighbor, and kind of pal around. And I said, now listen, I said, don't have to get dressed up, old lot, but I said, come on. I told his wife, and I said, let's go. And before they knew what was going on, he's walking out the door, a little girl too. A little girl. I mean, the little boy, that's their little boy, and the little girl was next door. And so sure enough, I knocked on the door, and I said to my dear friend, I said, got company! And they opened the door and said, y'all, come on in. Boy, it's a tense time. It's a tense time. It really, I started the conversation. I said, folks, you know, I don't believe y'all mean to do what you're doing. I said, just look over there in the corner, little old boy and girl sitting down beside each other right in the corner. Huh? Boy, they's raring to play. I'll guarantee you, they'd have shared wagon, tricycle, everything else, kiddie car and all the rest of it, see? And I said, now, wouldn't it be a sight if you mothers and dads would just be as willing to forgive as those little kids are? I said, I know they scratch and bite and cry and play and push and shove and talk about that's mine, but I said, they always get over it in about 5 seconds, you know, and playing again. And I said, isn't it a sight? Here y'all are, fell out, now you're packing pistols for each other. I said, isn't it sorry and sad? Can you imagine how sad it'd be for the newspaper to carry the article? One of our neighbors got killed, and the other one's going to go to the pen. Two homes broken, and two little children left orphan. I said, can you imagine how sad that'd be? And my neighbor that was a Christian, he spoke up and he said, well, he said, Brother Olaf, and his old chin began to tremble. You know, if you can ever get the chin to trembling, you know. And the tears to roll, especially down the old rusty-headed man's face. I mean, you're getting somewhere. And he said, I tell you, I believe it's mostly my fault. And the unsaved man spoke up and said, no, and I believe it's mine. He said, I'm to blame. And so, oh, brother, revival fires begin to burn. I said, thank the Lord. No shooting weapons around here tonight. I mean, the Lord came to shoot up that living room, and the power of God came, and we all fell on our knees. And, God worked it out. It was just fine. Next day, little old boy and girls out there playing on the sidewalk together again. That's where it ought to be. Dear friend, people are so stupid to pack grudges and nurse hard feelings and all of that when they need to know, like, to be like the Savior. Oh, when I think about the price. And these were neighbors, and the Bible said, now, if it's too small, you go get your neighbor now. You go next door, get your neighbor, and the lamb will be sufficient for all of you, so your lamb shall be without notice. What he said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. For as much, Peter said, as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. There it is. Same thing. There's Simon Peter way on the other side in the New Testament saying, without blemish and without spot. And dear friends, that demands the virgin birth of the Son of God. Our Savior couldn't have been a sinner, because if he'd have been a sinner, he'd have had blemishes and spots, and he'd have been a sinner. He could not have atoned for my sin. And so Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Notice, he said, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. Notice where he said they're going to put the blood. Two side posts, upper door posts of the houses. Don't you know that looked sort of silly? And ridiculed them by the Egyptians when they saw the little old Israelites taking the blood of an innocent lamb, sprinkled on the side post and the upper door post. Didn't say they put it down under the doorstep, did they? To be trampled on. Didn't say that they put it on the threshold to be walked on, to put it up where folks could see it. Somebody's coming through tonight. We got company from heaven tonight. The inspector's coming. Oh, yes, he's coming. He's going to check on every household in Egypt's land. The Israelites as well as the Egyptians. The only difference that's going to matter is going to be the sprinkling of blood. That's all. Won't be the education, won't be the wealth, it won't be the fine household, it won't be their religious affiliation. There's just one thing that's going to matter when heaven's inspector comes through, and that is, shall I see the blood? Oh, we sang a while ago, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and that's it. And folks, we might as well face it, and you'd say, well, I've heard this preached. You never have heard it preached more than you ought to hear it preached. You can't preach on it too much. I praise God every time he brings me back to a message on the blood. I'd say, Lord, I couldn't miss that, could I? Because that's so important. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. That's what the Bible says. And dear friends, we got so much sin in this country today, we need to preach a heap of blood. Because there's nothing that'll cover sin but the blood. You can preach good works and you can preach reformation, and culture may cover you before men, but it'll take the blood to cover you before God.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled, The Only Remedy for Sin. To order that on CD form, ask for offer number RO3372. To help us with shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar program, and also we entitle it Letter Month. It's also the month that Brother Roloff really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here is from Dallas, Texas, said, friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you. And we love that message also, my friend.
Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway. That's a beautiful title. I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all. And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years, and maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled, Faith, the Second Greatest Gift. This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, what does faith have to offer, and where can I get faith? How do I use it? Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and he made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.